Troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright lights. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land. Leading the way to heaven's bright shore, troublesome waters I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to the Watchman Weekly. I'm Bob Garrity. I'm joined with co-hosts Bill Johnson and Chris Ardern. The Watchman Weekly is a ministry of the Threshing Floor and could be found at threshingfloor-radio.com and watchmanweekly.com. Good evening, Bill. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening, gentlemen. Very pleased to be here tonight. We had an excellent pre-show and looking forward to bringing some of that out in this show.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here too, guys. It's going to be an interesting show. A lot of stuff. The Lord just keeps opening stuff up to us, and you know, we're just putting it out as we get it and hearing the way the same things happening to each other. And it's just, you know, really exciting to be a part of what God's doing. And as we, you know, proceed through these interesting times we're in.
And audience, first of all, I'd like to ask the audience if they'd keep Danny and Luann in their prayers. Brother and sister that need prayers. And also like to thank our on the pre-show, we had Steve Knox, and Steve brought up just a tremendous amount of wisdom as far as scripturally following the patterns, and we'll get into some of our pre-show discussion after. We're going to do a more brief current events and then go into a couple studies. And I also encourage all the listeners, the breakout studies that everybody's been working on, and please visit all of the blogs. Chris, what's the address on the blogs?
Well, we've got watchmanweekly.com, and then we've got thirdgreatawakening.org. And then we've got threshingfloor-radio.com. And really between those three, there's links everywhere. I just put some new links up today. Well, I put a new link on Watchman Weekly to James Lloyd's website, Christian Media. And I encourage the listeners to, you know, make him a part of your rounds as you, you know, surf the web. He streams his shows. And he updates his shows on Tuesday. It seems like Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday are the days he puts out his new shows. And he starts at 9 o'clock Pacific time in the morning. So we're on the East Coast here. I catch him on at noon. And then at 5 o'clock, they replay it again. And he has got the pulse of this 6-7-8 cycle that he sees. And I'm definitely of one accord with him there. And as we see these prophetic cycles that he's identified.
You know, you can just apply those cycles, that 6-7-8 cycle. I can just look around in my everyday life and everything, and I just say, oh, yeah, there it is right there. You know, it just pops up.
It is amazing.
It truly is.
And he just said, you know, and then the threes, you know. He said, you ever notice how, like, when a movie star dies, there's three? Or
yeah.
Things like that. And it's really true. And it is a pattern in Scripture.
And audience, just if you're new to this concept, the 6-7-8 cycle is easiest defined by looking at the biblical characters of King Saul, David, and Solomon.
Yep.
And when you break that down, the people wanted a king. All the surrounding kingdoms had a king. Israel wanted a king. And the Lord, in his great wisdom, gave him a king for his purpose. And the king was six. King Saul was six. He was the best that man could have. He was a head taller than everybody. He had the looks. He had, you know.
And it was man wanting the king, too. It wasn't really God's idea. I think that's associated with the number six, too. It was man's idea.
Yes, and you have to recall that Israel had judges, and they were all sevens. If you were a judge and prophet, or prophet, if your vocation in doing the Lord's will, you were a seven. So now you have the Saul going into apostasy and seeking soothsayers and making sacrifices. And he is stripped of the kingdom. And it is given to David. David is the example of seven. He was a man after the Lord's heart.
He did the will of God, right.
Doing the will of God, but he's also a man.
He's also a man, right. But he didn't try to move to number eight.
He was always with the Lord.
Right.
The Lord's will. And of course, like everyone, audience, the seven is, it's the best flesh. He did the will of the Father.
It's the rest.
He was man. And then we have the eight, a mingling of the sixth, the seventh, and the eighth. And I'll give you a brief, Solomon asked for wisdom, and he was granted wisdom because he was still trying to do the will of the Father, but he didn't listen to the Father. And he mingled all the teachings that he had, and he went into apostasy, which is the eighth.
And a good example of that, too, is everything was given to him. It's an example of what happens when everything's given to you.
Yeah.
Yes. And
we see that so much just in rich families. As soon as the heirs die, the children will blow, you know, whatever, millions of dollars off, you know. Whatever the inheritance was, you'll see that. It's quite frequently.
Always. And one more example of the 6-7-8 cycle is when we're describing the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in the days of these kingdoms, was that established per Daniel. In the kingdoms, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome, in the days of these kingdoms, and it was Rome. So now you have a 6-7-8 cycle, prophetically, from Rome being the sixth, and the kingdom of God is established through our Lord Jesus Christ, the seven, which continues. It always was, it is back then when our Lord was here on the earth, and it will ever be. So you're always in seven, audience. Don't let anybody teach you anything differently. You're always in the Lord in this cycle. And then you have eighth, and it manifests as the Holy Roman Empire, a mingling of all the others, the same as the pale horse patterns. Brother Bill?
Yeah, they mingled Jesus with the dying and decaying sixth kingdom Rome. I have a feeling America's going to die from an internal cancer the same way that Rome did. Nobody really conquered Rome. They just kind of died from an internal cancer. And so, you know, out of that came, you know, half Jesus and half Rome. It's the number eight. And, you know, and it just, now that becomes the new number one again, eighth, you know, like the new day of the week. And then it progressively gets worse. You know, it goes to two, it goes to three, till it gets back up to six again. And it got back up to six around the 1500s when the Bible and the printing press came out. You know, the Catholic Church got so evil that Then the next number seven was sent was the Bible, the King James Bible, or and the other English Bibles in the 1500s there, building up to the final King James Bible, where God sent to number seven there. And then in 1800s, they want to start make an eighth now. They want to have a Westcott and Hort and everything in a new committee and rewrite it and bring in the Alexandrian text so they make an eighth. It's all about mingling.
It's all about
the key thing is saying to seven, you got the best there is. You have the number seven. It's rest. It's the absolute best. It's the perfection. It's walking in Jesus Christ. And there's no need to try to go looking for greener pastures.
And audience, that is
because aren't any greener pastures.
The seventh is the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which right. You are in.
Right.
You don't have to go to the eighth.
Right.
See, you are Judas of the sixth. Yes, Judas is a good example of the eighth. Solomon is a good example of the eighth.
When Paul got into number seven, he's, you know, after all of that trouble, he was a number six. I mean, Paul was about as number six as you could get. I mean, that's the epitome of number six. But he got in number seven, and he stayed there. He didn't try to go to eight.
Very important understanding, audience, of this pattern and the pattern of scriptures. The pattern of scriptures allow us to have our generational glimpse to serve our Lord Jesus Christ.
Moving into eight, you start wandering in dry places, seeking rest and finding none. That's what happens in the eighth.
And you become naked.
Yeah.
You are naked because now you've made a decision to not follow the will of the Father through His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and not do His will.
But you're then doing you wind up will. Going to soothsayers like Saul did.
And being in idol worship. Like all the apostate churches are. Saul
himself went through a 6-7-8 cycle, you know. Saul started out sixth number man king, like you said. He was a general or whatever he was. And then God did pick Saul. He was a Benjamite. He couldn't pick from the tribe of Judah because of that deal with Judah and the, not that wasn't a harlot woman, but she dressed up like a harlot. Anyway, the child was illegitimate, so he couldn't pick from the tribe of Judah, so he picked Saul out from Benjamin. And Saul started out pretty good, you know, God was with him, and then he went through, you know, his own 6-7-8 cycle.
Very
and that's right. Cycles. There's cycles inside of cycles.
Cycles inside of cycles, inside of cycles, exactly.
Chris.
But when you pick up on the pattern, you see what the Lord does. It's just amazing. I know it's tricky if this is new to you folks, but yeah, I really encourage you to jump over to Christian Media because we're all just all about this, and it's very, very exciting and very profound once you see it. Once you pick up on it. Do I understand it completely? No, but I do see it. And I mean, ultimately, in Revelation chapter 17, where it says, "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth." And is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. I mean, this is the ultimate 6-7-8 cycle here, where
that's the church, ultimate, right? Yeah.
The church is the seven, and then the church goes bad. And
right.
This is the deal. This is why what we're talking about had to happen because it's written. You know, this stuff is written, and there's nothing that's going to change it. And we're not going to stop the harlot from taking control of the minds of the masses. But we're calling you out of her. That's why we're to come out of her and not be a partaker of her iniquities and plagues. And, you know, you find your place. You know, you enter into God's rest, the seven.
Yeah, I think these two things that are so helpful to help me, has helped me learn what you're speaking of, the 6-7-8, and then what we talk about a lot. And James says it took him 7 years to get really a grasp on this the dialectic. Those two things, if you have those two things in your toolbox, the understanding of the dialectic and the understanding of the 6-7-8 can take you a long ways.
Very important.
In understanding the Bible and then being able to see future prophecy.
I'll give a plug. Now, James Lloyd sells books, and I was weary. You know, here's another guy, the first time I heard him. But I've bought several books from Christian Media. They're $7, and they are the greatest study aids. in terms of different topics from the Bible. James Lloyd speaks in the truth audience. There's no doubt about that. I'm a little worried about this catastrophism, but I mean, if we're preparing for catastrophism, he's preparing
he's got
his
this
listeners.
Gospel.
He's preaching this gospel, and he just a great teacher. Absolutely.
And he loved the Word of God. He has not grown sick of the Word of God. He preaches with a passion today that, you know, probably greater than it's ever been. He just loves the pure gospel, and he puts it out every day on his show. And he's harsh, and you know, he's actually very obnoxious at times. But folks, you got to realize, you know, with people that are preaching the truth, you know, we're getting beat up, you know, and I mean, we're coming against such opposition, and you know, we're half cocked, you know, most of the time, and it just wears on you. And so this comes out, you know, but he's got a heart of gold. And I really am. I'm right now myself. I am so drawn to his teaching, and I've just been hanging on every word he's been preaching lately because he's got the pulse of what's going on. And you know, he's one of the guys that agrees with me. I mean, he's probably led me here, but you know, I'm starting to say this dogmatically that I don't see another president. I really do not see another presidential election. I'll stand here now and say that.
I certainly see that as a possibility.
Yeah,
I do certainly see it as a possibility, yeah.
Yeah, with the pale horse. I mean, I am absolutely convinced we are at the end of the pale horse. And there's, you know, if this whole thing cycles again, you know, I can't imagine it. It's just this whole thing's too much of a powder keg right now to endure an entire another cycle. And so that's why I see that, you know, that the Obama regime and the pale horse that's been in play, the diverse fourth beast since World War II.
Right, and who's been writing those two? The death and hell. That's your serpents and scorpion, yeah. your Antichrist and your false prophet. That's if you want to know who the Antichrist is, it's death. It's the death rider on the pale horse. The false prophet is the hell rider on the pale horse.
Hell followeth him.
Yeah, and they're both, you know, capitalized.
And we must. We must look at audiences just weighing a spiritual understanding post-cross and apply it to our generation. And spiritually, we definitely see the great falling away. And the deception is, the churches, the Christians are in idol worship. They're not following their salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. They're following it through serpents and scorpions, teaching them of, you know, doctrines of demons. Bill?
Doctrines of demons, absolutely, right. What Paul
strange
says,
fire.
There'll come a time, strange fire. There'll come a time where they will no longer endure sound doctrine. And, you know, that's, I mean, if we've ever been there, we're there now.
Chris?
Yeah, and the very people that are preaching the false doctrine are the corporate church that are the ones that people are looking to with their trust to warn them about the false doctrine that they're preaching. You know, it's just such a vicious cycle that it's just so ironic and so amazing, because the corporate church today, if it were doing its job, you know, these pastors would be spending half of their sermon exposing the deception that's everywhere.
Right.
But they're part of it, so they don't. And if they did, their system would crumble, so they can't. Because
they can't have the truth. Cause you know, the first thing you can look at and say, well, is my pastor a tent maker, or is he a hireling shepherd?
Yeah, that's right.
Very key identification, audience. Hireling shepherds are leading the apostate church in idol worship, and they're going to run. They're going to run and hide.
I went to a good little church, you know, when I first got saved, and the pastor drove a bus, you know, and he came in, you know, and led the little flock. It was a church. It worked. It was a neat little church. And I mean, I'm going to say it, you know, it was functioning as it was supposed to, you know. I don't know where it is today. I'm sure it's gone the route of every other corporate church.
Well, right. But since around 1989, things have really escalated much faster.
Yeah, that was the time that Hal Lindsey's rapture didn't happen. And, remember, he said in 1988. I was thinking about that.
And let's go over there, Chris. Just let the audience have an understanding of this. If you are in the Lord's salvation and you are studying yourself approved and you're being led by the Holy Spirit to open your Bible and study and to prepare yourself to do the will of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you're seeing an outline of who's on the other side of the plumb line. Okay, if there's very few, a remnant, a small number of people that are in the truth, that are sons and daughters of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they're doing the will of the Father. On the other side, you have a rapture doctrine that has deceived. We have any numbers on that? Is that millions and millions?
You know, I had heard 700 million, but, you know, but it doesn't really matter. And I'll tell you why, because I was just exchanging emails today, I think with Loretta, I believe, our sister Loretta. And there ain't anybody out there. There isn't anybody out there. I don't care of the – you take the Muslims, the Christians, and all the put together, you have about 3 billion or more form of Christianity. They all believe in the 70 weeks lie of Daniel. All of them. This is like a 98%, 99% deal.
Now, this is important for the new listener. Okay, as we've presented evidence for the past 8-9 months of these apostate churches in various forms. So now we're getting down to the basic understanding of what is you are led to salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ in the finished works of the cross. And after that is a plumb line set. That on one side of the plumb line are the followers that are in salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, doing the will of the Father. And on the other side are people in idol worship, some form of idol worship. And you we're not pointing fingers at these churches. You're to think of this as a child. You know, you feel bad that they're being led by a, some idol shepherd. But you're to be on the side of your salvation. This is one-on-one, and you are the temple of the Lord. And when we talk about the idol shepherd and the hireling, we're talking directly about idol worship. And, you know, the numbers are staggering of people that are in the churches that are not in our Lord Jesus Christ's salvation by these false doctrine. And using the rapture doctrine, because it deceives so many, you know, we could take a look prophetically and say, okay, who's prepared in the rapture doctrine for the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and for his tribulation?
Yeah, they're going to be totally lost. I had heard different numbers from 500 million to 700 million to 900 million. I don't know, but I have no way of verifying it. But I know that it's very, very common out there. Maybe as much as a third of what we would call the Christian church out there, with 2 billion people, counting Catholics and Protestants, roughly is 2 billion.
And Muslims? It doesn't matter.
Right, but I don't think the Muslims are into I don't think they're into the rapture thing. But I think everybody's into the 70-week Daniel.
Yes. And this is told audience.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I've mentioned it before and on several programs, and I used to think it was, you know, in the top 10 or the top 5 or the top 2. It is the number one lie. That is what diminishes Jesus' finished works. If you think that Jesus is going to sign a treaty or something and give all the credit to the Antichrist, what Jesus already did 2,000 years ago, he sealed that covenant with his blood. What they're doing is making his blood of none effect, as far as they're concerned.
It's the recapitulation of the pattern audience of our Lord. In his time, has happened upon our time, in this generation. And you don't have to go farther than your corner church. Go to two masses at two different churches, or a mosque, or a synagogue.
Which they all get their permission from the same people, but the same beast.
The same IRS, yeah.
Yeah. The mosque, the Catholic Church, they all think they're different. The, whatever, the Lutheran Church, the Methodist, the Christian Science, the Mormon, they have to go get their license from the same boss.
And this is
the
global dominance.
But they're only fooling themselves if they think they're different.
Global dominance, one of our topics today that Chris is going to go through for current events audience. You see the spirit of this 6-7-8 cycle. You know, sixth was Rome. And Rome was pretty bad. I mean, it was a terrible oppression. And they would come into your town and they'd kill everybody except the ones they chose.
Right. They were a depiction of the iron. That's, you know, the iron in the is uncircumcisable. It's extremely evil. And
and they were in idol worship, the Romans. Saturn was the...
Saturn was... That's still been the key god all the way
Saturday?
From the beginning is Saturn. Saturnalius and...
Saturday audience? That sound familiar?
Yeah.
Because that's a Roman pagan god.
Right.
So you have the Latter-day Saints, and oh, Saturday is the real day of rest.
And the Sabbatarians, I believe. And
yes.
Then they use it as a dialectic again. We don't worship the sun god. We worship Saturnalius.
Every day, audience, is a Sabbath threat in our Lord Jesus Christ. Every hour. Pray throughout the day. Because we're going over current events, that these are quickening events. It started out Tunisia, and now Egypt, and then, you know, you have multiple wars, rumor of wars going on, unprecedented in the world, ever, globally. And now you have a definitive civil war ignited in Libya. Brother Chris, you want to bring us up on your current events, sir?
Yeah, I'd be happy to, Bob. Thanks. My focus this week's been something that is really coming, you know, to fruition in front of our eyes in the Middle East. Ultimately, these things I've been aware of for a while, but now that this stuff is happening in real time, it's just, you know, I'm going back on my notes and back, you know, on thirdgradeawakening.org. Basically, it's a website I put together just to document my studies. And then it was just there to, you know, send people to. And as I say, I woke up 2 years ago, Lord, my transition in my life where the Lord got me to the point where I was ready to hear the truth. You know, he dropped a bomb on me. It was really just about 2 years ago right now when I had a revelation from God that was a clear voice, you know, telling me as clearly as, I mean, it was right now. It was February 2 years ago, so I can remember it like it was yesterday that, the New World Order is the beast system, and you know, that hit me so hard. My whole life changed that night, and then as I started putting the pieces together, and you know, going back on my studies, you know, being in the church for many years, and all the end times teaching that I was, you know, aware of, and you know, the bottom line is it wasn't all air; it was just all it was all slanted. And misconstrued. And, you know, what the process has been since then is taking what I did know and, you know, like putting the pieces in
right. Rightly dividing the word of truth.
Rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen.
And yeah. Chris, on one layer, I just want to interject for new members of our audience. If you're new to these shows, audience, and you're just getting a grasp of your scriptures where you're starting to see these patterns and our discussions are all biblical. You begin to see that there's, you know, it's let's make a deal time, audience. Door number one is your salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Door number two and three are hell. And the host of Let's Make a Deal isn't even putting door number one in your sight. You can't see this.
Yep, he's not putting door number one. Plus, they get you in a state of frenzy just like the show did. The TV show would get you in a state of frenzy, Monty Hall, before you even made the decisions. And that's what they're trying to do, too, with the chaos. And
an easy analogy, audience, that you have somebody blocking you from that door. And we're coming to get captives. We're exposing as much as we can on a fleshly level. You will never find a better website than Chris's site.
And it's excellent, yes.
And when you go through that site, you just have a fleshly understanding of the evil and wickedness that is being propagated on people. In a deeper level, you know, when you come up from there, the canary's dead. Because you're dead to the flesh seeing all these evil things. And you find that, you know, it is in our salvation through this gospel that we preach. Chris?
Yeah, and then I just, you know, heard actually on James Lloyd this week, I heard him say that notion that, you know, what we had been taught isn't all bad. I mean, the truth was in there. It's just we have to sort through it. And he said he had one of his listeners say it's like the locks in the tumbler in a lock. You know,
yeah, that was a good analysis.
One had a good analogy, yeah.
Yeah, it was.
And that's what it's been for me. You know, just a I did have a great, understanding of the remnant seed, and that Christians are Abraham's seed by faith. And it didn't impact my life. You know, it was a fascinating class I took, but I just see now why, you know, it's for God's purpose that at this time now, when understanding our identity as God's remnant, this is so vitally important as we do rightly divide the word of truth. Because this is another understanding that we've just gotten recently, you know, thanks to Sue, you know, who's over there in Idaho, just, you know, like the rest of us, just seeking the Lord. And then when when she gets something, she puts it out, you know, and she put out a great study on rightly dividing the word of truth. And we've always thought that was deciding, you know, what was true and what was error. But we realize that the Bible is not error. There's no error in the Bible. I mean, Al, that's another discussion, too. We've got some issues with that. There's a discussion amongst us now with some mistranslations and error. But we're not going to go there right now. But, I mean, just the fact that Scripture is, you know, profitable for proof, reproof, and correction and righteousness, and the Lord gave it to us. But
also think that it's understanding Scripture from a carnal mind and understanding Scripture from a spiritual mind.
Yeah.
If you're understanding Scripture wrong, then it's going to lead you into error. So that's part of, you know, I guess you could say that might be another layer of rightly dividing the truth.
But just seeing the identity.
But that entity that Sue Patterson came up, yes, I had never really put it in that perspective. I have never myself understood it in that perspective, and I think there was a wealth of information there.
New to the audience, I would recommend that you go to the third-day.com website and begin the plumb line. You just put in the plumb line. We'll put up a link on watchmanweekly.com directly to that study. And of course the key to the study is to pull up the study notes, and you will find that you study yourself approved, you will see these things. You will hear the word. You will understand the patterns of Scripture, because you are to do the will of the Lord. You've already repented. You've already turned and changed your mind and turned to our Lord Jesus Christ, and He, through the Holy Spirit, will reveal this to you. Bill?
Yeah, it is all the Holy Spirit. It just depends. If you don't want the truth, He turns you over to strong delusion. It's as simple as that. If you really do want the truth, if you're tired of being lied to, if you have a sincere heart about it, He will guide you. The Comforter will. He will guide you to all truth. It's not going to happen overnight. You have to be diligent. You have to study to show thyself approved. You got to take, you know, baby milk and then a little bit of baby food. But you know, you can't expect everything to happen overnight. But it's the sincerity of the heart and desiring of the truth. And the Lord loves that. And then walking in the truth. And living your life in the truth. It's easy to maybe say you know all of these things, but you got to be walking them and living your life in it the same way. You know, Jesus walked the truth just as well as he spoke the truth.
Chris?
Yeah, going back to the, you know, rightly dividing the word of truth and just seeing, you know, assigning the identities, you know, to the characters in Scripture, you know, the serpents, scorpions, multitude and remnant seed. You know, pretty much every setting in the Scripture, we can find these identities. And
every single one, yes. It's not even hard. It's like we were talking about Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. It's so easy to see them.
But it's, you know, pretty much every setting in Scripture, you can pick out these identities. And once you understand that, Scripture comes alive. And
it comes alive, right.
And we encourage you to find yourself in those identities. And because as these times grow darker and darker, you know, this is what it's all about. Because it's the harvest. The harvest is the separation. And this is where we are. You know, we are at the threshold of the Great Tribulation. And that is the time that the wheat and the tares become mature. And the tares turn black, you know, as the wheat and the tares have grown up together. But, you know, I'm going to get back to this full spectrum down. As I say, I had a massive revelation. The Lord told me that this New World Order, which I had just discovered, you know, was actually, in fact, the beast system that, you know, I've been hearing the likes of Hal Lindsey and Tim LaHaye, you know, and their doctrines, you know, whatever, you know, I put together out of those apostate understandings. You know, it was all a matter of sorting through all that and, you know, understanding how, you know, doctrine had been twisted by the false prophets. But as it's been, you know, it's been 2 years now of seeking the Lord and, you know, in spirit and in truth. And, you know, the Lord has set me free. The truth has set me free, has made me free. And I'm here now, you know, sharing what I've learned. And, you know, something I picked up on pretty much early on. And anybody that knows my story knows that I had some issues with the corporate church. You know, I was a big part of the church system. I was involved in a seeker-friendly church.
Is that the restraining order, Chris?
Not yet. That hasn't happened yet. But.
Audience, just to give a recap, Mr. Ardern was trying to present the truth at his apostate church, a seeker-friendly prosperity church. And when he handed out his studies, biblical studies, or a biblical a DVD or his work at thirdgradeawakening.org, he was rejected and then evicted from the church. And again, another example of trying to confront the serpents and scorpions, you generation of serpents and vipers, because they are the Pharisees. And they're the money changers that are in the temple right now. And when I say temple, I'm talking about the white sepulcher of dead, dry bones. And not the temple of the Lord. That is you, audience. You are the holy temple of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah, one of the pieces of literature that I put together, I actually went up to the Kinko's and I had a bunch of copies made, you know, like a two-page folder, you know, I stapled it together and handed it out to... My heart was really to the leadership of the church. Little did I realize that it was hopeless, you know, reaching the scribes and Pharisees, because as we see, you know, this whole pattern at the time of Christ is repeating today. You know, they knew not the hour of their visitation. They knew not the hour of their visitation, and this is all taking place again. But one of the things I handed out was a study on something I had discovered. What was going on? Is that what we're seeing in the Middle East is the modern day Crusades. You know, it's basically the foiled attempt from the Middle Ages. You know, it's basically come back to power here now with, you know, it really got all its legs, you know, through the Bush regime,
right?
And you know, all the invasion of Iraq and Afghanistan, and you know what you're seeing there is the Freemasonic. Attempting to, you know, seize control of the Middle East. And this is what's taking place. And ironically, you know, it was, you know, 2 years ago, I handed this thing out at church. And it's on the website. It's called The Modern Day Crusades and the Noahide Laws. And I'll put a link to that on the show. And you read that, and basically it's, it's basically an account of what we're seeing right now in the Middle East. You know, I believe this is the final move now. Is all this destabilization that's taking place over there, where they're toppling these dictators that they've had in place following their agenda up till now. You know, they're attempting to completely destabilize the region. You know, for Israel's purpose, because basically what we're doing, you know, America is, you know, the pit bull fighting Israel's wars over there. And as I say, I'm gonna, you know, jump back to the 6-7-8 cycle. And as we say that these cycles repeat on a big scale, and then, you know, like miniature accounts of them, but I really do see the big one unfolding right now in that America, ironically, all through all these years of underneath the Hal Lindsey false doctrine, you know, rapture, dispensational, end time, fairy tale that we've been following. Everyone's looking for the revived Roman Empire and the Antichrist, you know, he's going to sit in the temple.
Right.
Well, hello, folks, but this thing's already,
he's in the temple.
This thing's totally, totally run in that, you know, America's the revived Roman Empire, for goodness sakes. And everything's been about what we've been teaching for the last several months, 2 months anyway, the Pale Horse. You know, the Pale Horse has been in place since World War II. This is what World War II achieved. It achieved the diverse fourth beast, the conglomeration of the white horse, black horse, red horse, in that this is the final run pale horse, which is ultimately the United States, United Nations, which basically, you know, we've been operating in name only, since the war. We have basically been the military industrial complex, strong arm of the New World Order. You know, yes, they allow the Americans to fly their flags on the 4th of July and shoot firecrackers and stuff. You know, let them think they're free. But, you know, we've been under this global tyranny, you know, in one respect or another, you know, since then. And we're seeing, you know, the true tyrannical forces now clamping down as, our freedoms are being, stripped from us, weekly as things are really ramping up now. But, you know, something, there's a thing out here, one of their big buzzword phrases that they're about right now, which is exactly what this thing I handed out in church 2 years ago, exposing the modern day crusades, but what it is, it's a term called full spectrum dominance. And basically what we have is the globalists, the Luciferian, Freemasonic, Zionist globalists are about controlling the world from Jerusalem. And, what they're doing is, I'm going to read a quote out of this article, which I'll post. There's an article that I got off of globalresearch.ca, which is an interesting site. There's a lot of disinformation on there. But there's a lot of good stuff on there too. You got to watch who you're reading. You got to watch the authors that you're reading. Some of them are propaganda. Some of them are good though. But this is a good article laying out the agenda. And really, what this is it can also be found in Zbigniew Brzezinski's book from 1997 called The Grand Chessboard, which is just amazing. You know, people are so busy laying on the couch watching football and NASCAR. They have no idea. You know, all this stuff is out there. You know, all these documents.
Everything is out there right in front of their. It's hidden right in plain sight, which is the best place to hide anything.
That's right. And they just know that people won't look because they've been so conditioned and dumbed down, through the, all the propaganda. But, what I just said, this article on the Crusades, this article here from Global Research on full spectrum dominance, and then Zbigniew Brzezinski's book for anybody who's really interested. I'll put the PDF file for that on there because I've got that book on PDF. So those will be three research tools for anyone that really wants to go into this thing, because this thing's all laid out. And there was a geopolitical strategist named Halford Mackinder. He lived from 1861 to 1947, And he observed in his most famous dictum, "Who rules East Europe commands the heartland. Who rules the heartland commands the world island. And who rules the world island commands the world. And Mackinder's world island was Eurasia, all of Europe, the Middle East, and Asia." And see, this is the land.
Right, it's kind of like a Croatia. That's the king of the south, basically, still.
Yeah, you're right. And, we've got in our minds that this is a thing about east and west, but biblically it's north and south.
Right.
Because these north and south signatures are, are identities that, folks, we encourage you to pick up on, because this is what we're seeing. You know, the scorpions out of the south and the serpents out of the north. Very significant principle in Scripture, and especially in these end times, as we just see the a manifestation of the opening of the bottomless pit with this BP oil spill. All kinds of prophetic signatures telling us that there was a definite opening of the bottomless pit there with the release of the scorpions, and to be followed by the release of the serpents. Which arguably there's discussion about the chronological order of these things, as what we're seeing now too. This is maybe going deeper yet. What we see, the shift. We're talking about the shift and the transition, wherein the time space continuum is being shaken. We see scriptures concerning the days will be shortened and time being shortened, and do we understand this? No, but we do have glimpses of it. We see through a glass darkly, and we do know all this stuff is being shaken, but we do see these principles, these serpents and scorpions at work here. And this article I'm going to post here on full spectrum dominance, basically we have these Masonic globalists. They want to control all aspects of society, and they're doing it militarily and through the foods and, pharmacy, everything. And, this is all the stuff that we've been teaching. And these are just good real-time documents that you can study and understand what's taking place. This is what we're seeing in the Middle East now. We're seeing where Israel is seeking to seize control of the entire region, ultimately the world. It's going to, as all this thing plays out, and America has collapsed, because this is part of the agenda. America will crumble. It's going to be brutal. But out of it, out of the ashes, will be the new world order, with the new world religion, the one world religion, and this thing is all going to be run from Jerusalem. And that, my friends, is where the real deception is going to play in, as this one world global religion marches forward. And where Satan truly does sit on the mount of the congregation. And it's going to be God's remnant seed that don't go along with it, that will end up being persecuted and martyred.
Now, we want to convey to you, audience, that looking at the flesh, I mean, when we present this information, it is a way for us to convey to you that the line in the sand has been drawn.
It sure has.
And here's the material for you to look at, because you'll have a love of the truth, and you'll want to know what's really going on. And you are in the sixth. You're the best you can do. You want to know what the flesh is going to happen. You want to know what's going on. And when you do see the truth, then it becomes a matter of, well, what is the real truth? And that's found in the scriptures. Now, I don't recommend you spend a lot of time on fleshly matters in terms of, you have to satisfy your wanting the truth, because you'll have it instilled in you. Bill, you agree with that?
Oh, that absolutely. Love of the truth? Yes. It's funny that, the world has tried everything so far for thousands of years except the truth. At least for 2,000 years. They've tried everything possible except the truth. Just be imagine if the world was full of Jesus, full of the truth, what a difference it would make.
And very simple concept: 7-year cycle, forgiveness of debts, feed the poor, take care of your fellow man, make sure that there's food for everyone. You know, that was if the Lord's plan had
love thy neighbor as thyself.
Yes, if you could just take the very basic milk of scripture concepts that were presented to the Israelites through the desert, you know, to do these things and to take care of people. That is, the Lord is merciful to his people. It's just there is that apostate that they go into idol worship. And we pray that we're not deceived, audience. Every day.
Right, that's right. Yeah, I mean, it's a battle as soon as you wake up in the morning.
And I'm trying to convey to the audience that, you know, you have to go through these snares to look for the truth. But I would turn, after you're convinced of the flesh, I would turn to the scriptures, and we have all the biblical studies and the contacts to other people that are gifted. They don't have our studies, the third day studies. They have been gifted with this gospel. And it's quite amazing to go through those blogs and be of one accord. Bill?
Yes, it is. It is amazing to be in one accord. You're right. There's rest there.
There is
rest. There's rest in the body of Christ.
The true body.
Outside of the body of Christ is a gerbil treadmill of chaos. There is no rest.
A gerbil treadmill of chaos.
And even if you think you got it going all right and everything, you know, at some point, you know, it's like a guy with that Chinese acrobat that's got six plates, or he's running up and down. And
yeah.
Sooner or later, when one goes, they all go.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, that's what life is there.
I used to say that about myself all the time. I feel like the pie guy on Ed Sullivan. The pie guy. You get him going, and yeah. But it doesn't have to be that way. It's not the way God wants it.
And I want to convey to our audience that we, you know, there is doom and gloom everywhere. You can see it in your neighbors. You could see it in the Middle East. You could see it on any news program. But that's not what we're telling you. We're telling you, well, prepare yourself for the tribulation, because these tragedies are mounting and picking up. These rumors of war are global now, and they're picking up. These countries are falling.
It's moving
faster. These states are having now, in the United States, you have, you know, various states. People are taking to the streets in their state capitals.
And really, how different is that than what's in the Middle East? All these are little countries. The states are little countries.
How I view it is really this. I view America as Rome. There's too many similarities. I could spend an hour on the similarities between America and Rome, and there's no need to do all that. But it's the same spirits that were behind Rome as behind America. Rome got eaten away from inside cancer. And that's exactly what's happening to America. It's being eaten away from inside cancer and chaos and everything.
And three unclean spirits right out of Revelation, Bill,
yes.
Huh?
And when it was all over with in Rome, when it was finally all over with it, what they got was their new world order, their Holy Roman Empire. That was it. That was what they joined everything in. And it's going to be the same type of process. You know, the Catholics and the kings and stuff were behind it then. And, you know, the Catholics and the kings of Europe were behind the Crusades that failed. And it's the same people today. You know, the Vatican, not necessarily members of the Catholic Church. They're multitudes that have been deceived as well. When I say Catholics, I mainly mean the Vatican and the Jesuits.
Well, what do you say when you say Catholic? You're saying universal. Because that's what Catholic means.
Yeah, that's right. Catholic is universal. Right?
And that's what this new one-world religion is.
And that's what they gathered after the collapse of the Roman Empire. That's what they did. You know, they brought all those pagan religions in that were fighting and warring with each other. And
that's what they're going to do again. Bring it all.
They changed the names on the statues, audience.
Yeah, they just, right. It's all the same thing. They just changed the names to protect the guilty.
Made them saints.
Yeah.
We had a historian on last week with Rejected Knowledge, and believe me, he had very gifted, Gordon Comstock, who is researching books that were put out of production and their copyrights bought, and he's presenting evidence that it was on purpose. And history is so distorted now in our generation. But we recognize that through the scriptures. The scriptures tell of this tale. This is a sordid tale.
I agree. The Catholic Church on the surface, what most people know is the Catholic Church, they really don't know the Catholic Church. It's just like Scientology. The people that are in Scientology, and even their level 7 or 8 or whatever, they don't know nothing about Scientology. They don't know nothing about the underpinnings of it. The Catholic Church itself on the surface is just a cover for the ignorant masses that will follow it.
Sorcery.
The real underpinnings and workings in the Jesuit order in the Vatican is what's driving this stuff. The Catholic Church itself is just used for a front.
Right.
Great wealth, audience. They're the wealthiest of all the world's kingdoms. But that and at this time, in this generation, it's your corner church that could be acquitted.
It's all deep Freemasonry in the center cores of these things.
It's all Freemasonry.
It's a pattern of the great falling away, and these people are blinded for the Lord's purpose, and he is calling his chosen to come out of the church and come unto me, Jesus Christ. And we give you every fleshly understanding you possibly could to lead you to our Lord Jesus Christ and come out of the apostate church. Chris, when we're talking about the multitude study, would you like to introduce, you know, the audience, new member, that here is an outlay for you to look at scripturally?
We're kind of figuring we've got some new listeners as well as some that have been with us for a while. And I've got a little, you know, I've got the stuff that the Lord's been putting on my heart, and that, you know, we're in a time of training and equipping the saints right now. And, you know, hopefully that the listeners find themselves in this thing wherever along you are, coming out of the harlot system and coming into the truth. As we, attempt to put out the truth, the Lord shows us that we're hanging our belief on, and that we see the way that the Lord reveals absolute truth to his followers, the ones that love the truth. Scripture talks about they love not the truth, so for this cause God turns them over to strong delusion. So you know you've got the ones that are deceived. And then we've got the ones that are, you know, passionately seeking the truth from the Lord. And, you know, there's a clear distinction here. And, I've got some bullet points here to give to the listeners that are, you know, that share my compassion for the apostate in the church that we love. And we know they love the Lord, but they're just victims of these, false prophets that they're trusting, you know, because this is what it's about. They're so nice. My pastor's so nice, you know, and it's a perfect storm. You know, we've got people that are coming off of the snare of prosperity that was there, that in the last 20 years has really, done the damage of, you know, causing complacency and dumbing down people to the time, preparing the way for the time when they need their sensitivity the most there at the time when they are so desensitized. But, you know, there's some key teachings from Jesus that I've really picked up on that are very foundational in presenting to people that are seeking. And I'm going to just pass them along. And, you know, you listeners can take it from there. You know, I'm sure you'll, you know, add to it or whatever. But these are some principles that I see, you know, in Scripture that I think are going to apply to us as we are preparing for the time when the multitude wakes up. Because Scripture is clear that the multitude does wake up, that a portion of the sleeping church does wake up. And, you know, we're seeing it as, you know, upon us, because it's going to probably be the actual tribulation events, the squeezing, you know, the wine press of the tribulation that squeezes the church, and you know it's going to separate, and you know this is upon us. But you know the way that Jesus taught, he taught the multitude in parables. You know, and this is something that you know we need to hold on to. It's a principle Jesus gave us. You know, we don't need to ignore it. We just need to build upon it. But I put together a couple scriptures that really lay out the deal, and it'll help. You know, if you follow along with me, Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And then we've got Isaiah 5:20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And then we've got Matthew 13:33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto the leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Okay, here we see these 3 scriptures that absolutely tie together, and I'll tie them together for you. You know, there's a time when men are going to call evil good and good evil. And I think the foundational error in the, you know, Bill talked about the temple and the 70 weeks of Daniel. Huge, huge doctrinal, foundational, truth that is twisted and distorted. And, I'm certainly not going to, you know, disagree with that at all. But coming from another, you know, possibly more practical, side of things, in that we've been taught that Matthew 13:33, that the leaven is the leaven of the gospel being spread throughout the world. And this is basically the...
It is. It's the leaven of the false gospel being spread throughout the world.
Yeah.
But I mean, again, it's rightly dividing the word of truth.
But it really seems to me that this is a real foundational error in the church. It's, you know, it's. I really think it's as equally foundational as the 70 weeks of Daniel error.
It's certainly right in there. You're right. They
pretty much, what is it? We have them calling evil good and good evil.
Right.
And that what Matthew 13:33 is really teaching is that we have to remember that during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Jews spent a week purging their house of leaven. Leaven being significant of hypocrisy and pride. And they swept every nook and cranny of their home to make sure there was no leaven anywhere to be found. Because a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. They wanted, this is all symbolic. These things were examples for the admonition upon whom the end of the age has come. Well, this is a principle here, you know, and we see Jesus' teaching that the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal until the whole was leavened. And we see leaven clearly being taught here as sin and evil. And that now, today, the church has been leavened completely. That the church is completely leavened. That the church is gone. The church has gone bad. And why? Because Matthew 24:11 said, and many false prophets shall, what? They'll rise and shall deceive many. What rises? Leaven. You know, it's just, this is the principle going on here. And, you know, this is a bullet point I'll put notes, you know, on the show.
And what got leavened? What got leavened? The kingdom of heaven is what got leavened.
Right.
So, you know, and the woman, that's the church that did it.
Right.
The church woman, the church leavened the kingdom of heaven. And I was going to just look here real quickly on Blue Letter Lexicon and just to see how many times leaven is in the scripture. I used to know, and I forgot. I think it's around 75 times.
An audience I can give you, this is dear to my heart, in opening up the truth. I was studying this chapter when... I came into the truth that the churches were all leavened. And spiritually, these signatures happened in my life where I recognized this leaven. And it happened, my wife, we had a neighbor that had passed away, and she went to the Mass at a different church. And she came back because we had been discussing the scripture. Is the church leavened? Is that what it's really saying? And we were praying over it to have understanding and searching it out diligently. And she came back from the church. She said the pastor or whatever denomination was there was saying that what a good thing the leaven is. And it was good that the church was puffed up.
Woe unto them that call good evil good and good evil.
It was shocking, but it's to you, audience. It's an example. You will see.
And it's a flattery.
Things.
When they're telling you leaven is good, it's a flattery.
Amen.
When you can go into your church with your Bible, or you can go and have a church meeting with somebody with your Bible, and you know the scriptures, and you understand the parables of our Lord Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit, then you understand that the people that are in idol worship, they will not see this. Bill?
Absolutely. I come up here with the word on a quick search 39 times. I thought it was more than that. But go read every one of them. You know, you can just go through and read if you want to know what leaven is. Just do a search and read every piece of scripture in context that it's leaven. It's also in leaveneth, and it's also leavened. But it's a total of 39 times you'll find it.
Isn't it amazing that false prophets shall rise?
Shall rise. Right, that's right. They rise just like the loaf of bread.
Uh-huh. I mean, I'm sure
very
there's some...
Very good point, I never Chris. Very good point.
That just grabbed me tonight. I just went, oh my gosh, look at that. There's our dear Lord just showing us these things. It's just, this is what it's about, folks. This, the scripture is just so rich. And, you know, but you got to have a good Bible. You can't trust these modern translations because you can't do this kind of thing.
I'm going to tell you how you know the King James Bible is the truth. This is that the Holy Spirit is going to be the one that tells you that it's the truth. It's not me. The Holy Spirit speaks through me. You hear the truth, and you go witness it yourself, and you get convicted. You get pricked in the heart. You get convicted in the heart. See, the word can only be transmitted two ways. The word can be transmitted verbally through the mouth, or it can be translated, written down, the written word. There isn't any other way to you know, what did Paul do when he went and spoke? Other than walking the word. Yes, you can walk the word too. You can look at Paul and say, oh, this guy's a tent maker. I can look at him and see. You can see his ways. He lives by the words that he speaks. But how did his doctrine become so powerful? It was the Holy Spirit speaking through you. Through him, excuse me. And people recognize that this doctrine, that's what the power you're hearing, is the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you go to the King James Bible, and I'm convinced of this, when I read it and what it shows me, I see an absolute astonishing doctrine. I see a powerful doctrine. I see a powerful witness. And it's the same if I listen to somebody like Milton Green. I hear a powerful witness of the Word of God coming out of his mouth. I just hear the Holy Spirit.
And the reason you're
Milton Green's the only preacher that I've ever listened to as far as preaching. I have no preaching skills. I can't preach. I don't know how. God did not bless me with that. But it's just as far as standing in front of people and preaching, and Milton Green's the only one that I've ever heard that really has the truth. As far as just a public preacher goes, we know people like James Lloyd is in the truth, Randy's in the truth, all these, but when I don't consider us really as preachers. I consider Milton Green a preacher, and I mean, that man has got the Holy Spirit in him. Of course, he's passed on now, but the Holy Spirit words never die. They just live on forever.
And you will find that audience at truthinscripture.com. That's our friend, Brother Pete Wilson, and his blog is in the truth, and there is multimedia. I would recommend also, audience, that the understanding of the gospel is revealed to you, and it's the love of the truth that you have to do the Lord's will. And we preach repentance of your sins and to get your house in order. In terms of you could go to these other sites. There's millions of other sites, and you will, we're asking you that you beware and stay in the truth. Those are the snares. That is why
the
you
key thing
not
that
to
you
be
find
deceived.
About this not being deceived and being one I will say about Milton Green and James Lloyd and many others out there is the key thing to look for is, do they diminish Christ? Milton Green does not diminish Christ in any way. That's what I look for when I go to a site or whether I start looking, are they diminishing Christ?
But it is a veil, audience, over your eyes if you are not prepared for our Lord's salvation. And in terms of looking at the fleshly things, it is absolutely, the whole world lies in wickedness. It is a global deception. And your line of defense is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And anything on the other side of the plumb line is error and deception and idol worship. And this is scriptural doctrine. This is this gospel that tells you this in the book of Revelation. But it also tells you in the book of Genesis. Brother Bill, your study on the Apostle Thomas.
Okay. I just like to comment real quickly that if anyone does want to listen to Milton Green, has a lot. Pete Wilson has put them out on the right top-hand side of his website, where it just it'll say videos, little red thing there. It says just click on his videos and scroll down, and he's got a lot of them on there.
And for you, audience, excuse me, 1 minute, Bill, maybe.
Sure.
You know, I've been meaning to do this. Audience, if you do not have a computer and you're just hearing the sites that we're talking about, I just want to give you the proper names so you can write them down. It's Truth in Scripture, Revive Me, O Lord, Soul Refuge, Scott's a Panic,
RaptureCult.com, I think.
Yes.
It's Scott's.
Yes, Daniel Mark. Always, please, this is very important, AuthorityResearch.com will expose you to what is known as the Hegelian dialectic, which will just do a very simple rendering of that is if you watch Glenn Beck and he brings on two experts, they're going to get back to what Glenn Beck wants them to get to.
Yep.
And by the way, why don't you, audience, remember who said they're experts?
Right. That's a word that we're trained in. That's a mental brainwashing word, experts. Then that turns into mass consensus. That turns into majority rules. And it's just a dialectic that leads you to a false god. You know, and Jesus is the only expert.
Yes. Yes.
We want to throw men up and men ideas and groups of men to follow and walk behind, and then we decide to shug Jesus to the side and follow these other so-called experts. That's really a New Age brainwashing word in the last 40 or 50 years, is this idea that you have to have an expert for this, and experts say that. No, you got to go to a special doctor for this. I can understand in some circumstances where you would want maybe a brain surgeon or something, but you know, I remember just the general doctor back in 1960 that he didn't need all this junk that they have today. He could just basically open your mouth, put a, you know, and touch your chest and behind your neck or something. And he could tell an amazing amount of things. But now it's got to be everything's got to be done scientifically with some sort of a machine with an expert. And then, of course, the laws of the suing laws. If a doctor now says the slightest little thing wrong, he can get sued. So, you know, that gets rid of the good doctors that we had in the 1950s.
Now, Bill, in outlaying the Apostle Thomas study,
mm-hmm.
audience, this is important because it begins in the book of Genesis and ends in the Gospels, so that you have an understanding, a deeper layer of Scripture to equate to your situation in this generation. Brother Bill?
Yeah, I'm going to start with the story in Thomas, which is only about three verses here. And then I'm going to reflect back to Genesis to start this out. We all know the story of doubting Thomas. He was the disciple that wanted more proof in the Lord that had risen. So then in verse John 20, 27, it says, "Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." So he was having Thomas touch his wounds, the wound in his side and the wounds in his hand. And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." So that was a convincing moment for Thomas there. He could feel the Lord's hand and touched his side. And then verse 20-29, Jesus said unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And these are all the people in the future that are the coming Christians. It's been 2,000 years since this event took place with Thomas, roughly 2,000 years. And the Lord has blessed all those people. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. And what I had noticed here in this piece of scripture is he had Thomas touch his hands. And we know that Jesus' hands and feet were pierced. That was nails. Nails are representative of iron, which is representative of... it's actually the scorpion iron. Anything that's uncircumcisable, but iron, I think, breaks, and brass is the scorpion. I often wondered if it was the brass spear that may have pierced Jesus. I don't think the scripture says that, but curious thought on my mind. But you take the hands, so Thomas felt the hands, and we go back to Genesis chapter 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. That's the work of the hands. He formed man of the dust of the ground. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So there's the hands. And the side, and the Lord God caused, in verse 21, I believe that's chapter 2 as well, yes, in Genesis. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And there's the side. That's where woman was taken from. So that's your multitudes. Adam and Eve were the first multitudes. You know, God formed man, Adam, to with his hands. And this is, he's telling Thomas, "Behold my hands." Thomas, "Behold the wound in thy side." You know, this is the signature of Eve, who was formed out of Adam's rib. You know, Thomas there is 144,000. He went on to be a disciple. He had the Holy Spirit breathed on him right about, I think, that time there. And they became apostles. So Thomas is 144,000. But he's telling Thomas about the multitude that's going to come. Blessed are those that have not seen and still believe. Well, if we go back to Genesis also, we can find that in verse 29 of chapter 1, I missed it there, where God said he created he, them, and I don't have the verse in front of me. He told Adam and Eve, he blessed them, and be fruitful and multiply. And so Thomas is the 144,000, and he's blessing right there the future multitudes.
And audience, what did Thomas do? The Lord told him to reach, and he reached.
Yes.
It's very key to understand. He reached. He knew that it was our Lord, our God. He knew it.
So
in
how are you going to believe without seeing? How are you going to believe? This gets back to the Word of God in the King James Bible. How are you going to believe without seeing? Are you going to just, you not trust any man? Well, the Bible says not to trust no man. I don't know if it says it in, I think it says mammon. Not trust things not of mammon, but the Holy Spirit is the one that convicts it in your heart. if you really want that truth, the Holy Spirit convicts it and gives it to you.
Brother Chris.
Yeah, well, I'm, you know, just...
I can tell you this book was written by no man.
I agree.
I mean, it was written with man's hands, yes. But
inspired by the Holy Spirit.
I mean, yes, it's inspired by the Holy Spirit. There's stuff that's so deep here that, you know, I just think the spiritual rendering and the spiritual overlay is just the beginning of tearing things off. I think there's many more underneath those. I can't see them, but I'm convinced they're there.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, just keep going with these, you know, in the coming weeks with this is what the Lord's put on my heart is I've got the file on my computer called the Multitude Curriculum, and that I'm just, you know, seeking the Lord about our message to the waking multitude. And, you know, I'm still, you know, very careful not to force the hand of God. Because I've certainly gotten in trouble with that in the past, right. And I see that happening everywhere with you know, with the apostate church trying to call down the latter rain or whatever. But you know, the fact is that the Lord has taught us that, you know, we're to be sensitive to the time when the sleeping church does wake up, and you know, the portion of the church that does come to the truth, as we, you know, the scripture over and over. You know, we've just taught it dogmatically, but. It's really gotten down to, you know.
That's got to be the biggest key to look for at this point.
Yeah, it is. Think. It's the only thing that hasn't happened is the waking of the multitude.
Right. We just haven't seen that.
The Antichrist is sitting in the temple. The
right.
Spirit of Antichrist has been sitting in the temple, which is the church, for a long time. Every, you know, certainly.
This temple has just been expanding.
Yeah. I mean, the mystery of iniquity has been at work since the cross.
Yes.
But we're really seeing the great falling away in the end times and whatever precursor to the time of the pale horse. But we really see after 1947, 48 was where really the restrainer was lifted. And, you know, since 47, we've got, we've gone from Hugh Hefner to Lady Gaga, you know, and, you know, this evil is just increasing exponentially now.
The days of Lot, right?
Yeah, it's just beyond comprehension. But you know what's going to happen as the you know, the scripture talks about you know, the grass being burned up, and you know, in 1 Peter it says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass, and the grass wherewith the flowers thereof fall away. And you know, we see the grass is everything flesh that the multitude are clinging to are going to be stripped away. You know, this is all going to be stripped away through the tribulation. This is the purpose of the tribulation. The tribulation is the threshing floor, the ultimate threshing of
and
the
if
wheat.
If they don't do it, you go to hell.
Yeah, that's right.
This is the grace of God. It seems horrible on the fleshly level, looking at it from that perspective, but I can't get away from that verse, and I think it's 1 Corinthians 5. It turneth the flesh over to Satan to be for destruction, to save it the spirit. You know, that's a paraphrase, but
what a hard saying that is.
What a hard saying it is. What a hard saying it is, yes.
We've got Revelation chapter 8, verse 7. The first angel sounded, and there were followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And right there, let's rightly divide that, Bill, Bob. Hail, serpents. Fire, scorpions, mingled with blood.
Tribulation.
Tribulation,
yeah.
Right.
Mingled with blood. Blood is the multitude.
Blood is the multitude, right.
And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. You know, and all, you know, the green grass is the fleshly idols.
Fleshly idols, right. Unless their idols fail them, there's no reason to turn back to God.
Yeah, see, that's what's happening
that's
now.
That's the whole key. I'd like to read one piece of scripture here. I'd like to read one piece of scripture from one verse from Proverbs. And this is what's going to happen when their idols fail them. Their idols are going to have to fail them, whatever it be. If it's the local scientists, if it's the college university, if it's the degree system.
401k.
if I don't care, it doesn't matter what it is. This is what it is. They're either going to turn back to the Lord or they're going to curse God and die. And Proverbs 19:3 says, a man's own folly ruins his life, but his heart rages against the Lord. So that's the ones that are going to curse God and die.
Yeah.
You know, it's his own folly. You know, folly is, you know, what's the word I'm looking here? Where does folly come from? It's your involvement in flatteries, really. It's a man's own folly. It ruins his life, but his heart rages against the Lord. And the multitudes that are saved, his heart won't rage against the Lord. Their heart will turn back to the Lord.
Right. Like Job.
Like Job, right.
Job is a multitude. He's an example of a multitude. And, you know, we see now that, you know, as everything's just coming unglued out there, and, you know, the things that people are trusting in are being stripped away. And I don't know if there's anybody here now, any of us listening, or, you know, Bob, Bill, or myself, that hasn't seen some panic in people's lives. I had somebody visiting my roommate today who was sharing, and my roommate's a really neat guy, and he was laying it out to her, and I was so impressed by him, you know, just telling her about the, not to trust these churches. They've all gone bad, and, you know, the only hope we have is Jesus. And she was listening, you know, and she was just lamenting about, you know, how so many people she knows are, you know, having real money trouble. And you know, I just felt it in her voice, and I just had such compassion on her. And I'm just praying to the Lord to give me empathy and understanding of what we need to do and what we need to say, as we've been so beat up, you know, over the years, just, you know, not having not, this truth that the Lord's revealing to us, you know, nobody wants to hear it.
You said truth right there, too. I wondered, you know, truth, the word truth with the S is not in the King James Bible. There are no truths. That's the simple fact of it. It's the truth. You know, NIV now has introduced the word truths with an S on it.
Well, the Constitution says truths.
Right. There are no truths. There are no truths.
But
it's simply, you know, the truth.
But, you know, this thing with laying out some of these bullet points here with the multitude, folks, I just, you know, ask for you to pray for the Lord to give you understanding on their needs and, you know, our message to them. What is our message?
Jesus Christ. I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
That's it. I'm not the, he didn't say the truths. He is the way and the truth, man. There's just one Jesus, one way, and one life. And when, you know, when you are a wandering soul in the desert or in the desert waste seeking rest and finding none, there's no life in it. There's no life in that. You're not resurrected.
No.
You're separated by a gulf into the land of Nod.
Yeah.
Like Cain was, you know, separated into the, I don't know what it is. You call it hell, eternal, whatever, but you don't have a body and you're not risen and you're not given life.
But we're going to, you know, I'm going to run through these things as weeks go by, and I'm sure there'll be more. And then anybody else that has a, you know, want to share things that you're finding that are working, that people are hearing, anybody that wants to share encouragement to us, you know, post a comment or email us or whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, we just love it. We just appreciate everybody, all the encouragement on Facebook and, you know, people that you're hearing that are awakening. You know, we'll go through it. You know, next week I'll probably, you know, if the Lord provides the time, you know, like just to take a look at the wheat and the tares, you know, for people to understand that scripture that's been so mistaught. And then, the other biggie that I've always been, it's been a big part of my understanding is understanding who them that dwell on the earth is, the earth dwellers. You don't want to be an earth dweller.
No.
You know, this is where you want
to be. The inhabitants of the earth, the tribes of the earth.
You want to be redeemed from the earth. You know,
you
that's
want to be redeemed from the earth,
very
right.
Key principle. And so as the weeks go by, you know, I'm going to start putting these things out. And, you know, anybody that, can glean anything from it. And, you know, I just want to thank everybody out there. And then I was going to mention my good friend, Bernard Pyron, who's been such an encouragement.
Yes,
you know,
he has been.
I was reading the list of remnant blogs, and it was probably going to be the next one.
Yes,
that
it
he
was.
Read. It was, you know, that because we all just yes. love him. He, you know, the scripture says, "I will send a famine on the land, not for bread or water, but for the hearing of the word." And you know, I come out of a time of dryness, you know, a famine. I was in this apostate harlot, seeker-friendly church, sitting in the pew this week after week, just crying out for more, you know, just hearing these stories and you know, and getting entertained. And I just, you know, I experienced the Lord early on in my life and I wanted it back, you know, and I just know it was all time of preparation. You know, the Lord was preparing me to receive it when it came. And now that I have woken again, you know, the Lord's, you know, revealed himself, opened the scripture to me. And then, you know, with the places that a guy like Bernard Pyron's going, he just puts out such in-depth studies that are just so fascinating. I've just enjoyed him so much. I just want to take the time tonight to thank him for his faithfulness and diligence. And
he's been doing this since back in the 80s, I believe.
He's been at it a long time. You know, he's exposed the, you know, all
I saw a lot of this stuff going bad myself in 1991. I saw the direction it was going. Obviously, I didn't have the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ back then. I was in what you might call a libertarian-type patriot mindset, but I could see it all unraveling as far back as 1990. A lot of these things I told my wife in the 90s that we're experiencing today. As a matter of fact, the economy would have been gone if they hadn't miraculously. What saved the economy in the 90s was the Internet. That was like reinventing the wheel. That's what they're going to have to do to save the economy again. They'd have to come up with something as incredible as that, and they're not going to do it. Yeah. But without the Internet, without that, the economy would have been gone in 1995.
Yeah. But, you know, Bernard wrote a book called The Great Rebellion. It's just fascinating.
That's out of print, isn't it, Chris?
I think it is. I was just wondering about that.
Maybe we could check with him on that.
Yeah, he had tremendous insight in the world around him.
He does.
Wonderful story he is. He's a wonderful story of coming out of, he was in the Bohemian. He was in every dialectic. And he came to the truth audience.
Speaks all languages.
But his blog is on thirdgreatawakening.org. And
blogs, and they're very, very, very excellent reading, all of them.
Go back. You know, he had one on the television, the actual mechanics of what took place in that. Like, think about it. In the 60s, we had a John Wayne movie where they'd, you know, have a panoramic view of John Wayne riding his horse.
Or the Help Fighters, where he closed the oil wells to save the world's oil, you know.
But I mean, it was a scene.
Heroes. Everything is heroes.
My point would be like the scene of the TV show would stay on the same scene for 15 seconds, and then it would go to another scene. Now it's like a machine gun. Da 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 da.
Right.
And it's complete mind control. And what it has done, it's attacked our ability to think critically, and it's made us wide open to deception. It's made us, you know, it's desensitized us to lies.
Right. It's visual fluoride.
And something I picked up on, I knew this right away, because you can always tell somebody that watches a lot of TV. They glaze over real quick. And I knew there was something actual mechanical about it. And Bernard's article lays it out. He studied it. He was involved in a study at a university level that it was just profound.
My dad told me back when I was a small child in the 50s that television was the most dangerous thing that's ever been invented.
Yeah, and here we are today. We've got plasma screen TVs that are half
it's like Bob had said in the past, it wasn't perfected then.
Yeah. These TVs are the size of the half the wall of the living room, and it's just constant mind control. It's unbelievable. And here we are today. And now it's going to be the people that are awake and that the Lord, you know, redeems from it and that speak out against it, you know, and don't go along with the New World Order, because this is the thing. You know, the churches are not being taught that they can't go along with this beast government, and unfortunately they are.
Well, you might not be liked if you don't go along with this, you know?
Yeah, they have no idea the peril that they're in.
That's part of the propaganda in school, is they train you to be liked, so you don't want to not be liked.
Yeah.
And
audience, this is, this is very sobering. To try and relate to you in our own ways, as the Joe Lunchbox crew trying to relate, the times and the seasons. But we were told in, and I'll close with this. Any closing thoughts, Chris?
I've got one quick one.
Sure, brother.
Just concerning the television, since we have off and on been on 1947, I would like in the coming weeks sometime maybe to just do one show on the television.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We really didn't finish up everything with the 47, 48, and that certainly came out of that, didn't it, Bill?
Yeah.
The TV.
The solution to all of it is Jesus Christ. Grab onto his robe and hold as tightly as you can, and never seek to diminish his finished works. You know, Christ died for all on the cross. It was one time sacrifice for all. And
everybody wants to take your birthright, audience.
Everybody wants to take your birthright, right? Don't let them do that. Don't let them steal your crown. That's what that's the thing. Don't let them steal you're a precious pearl. He goes seek. He's the good father that planted the good seed. Or there's the Son of God. The good man that planted the good seed was the Son of God. And then he goes looking for goodly pearls. He's the man, the merchant man, looking for goodly pearls. And when he finds one of great value, just one, he goes and buys it. He bought it. And that's how we come to Christ, one at a time. That's the multitudes. Sister Heidi, today, did a little writing on that, and Sister Heidi came back and said she had visions of the gate being so narrow that only one sheep at a time could get through.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow. That's the way it is. Yeah.
That's the way it is.
An audience, we're going to recount on closing Zephaniah chapter 1, 12 through 17. And as I go through this, you will be able to get a proper rendering of scripture in terms of the times we're in. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 12, "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles." Audience, that candles is equated to the five wise virgins that had oil. "And punish the men that are settled on their lees." That lees, audience, is it's wine, it's the ferment at the bottom of the wine, the false wine. It is the watchmen. Their lees, their watchmen are blind, deaf, dumb dogs. That is what's happening in the apostate church. "That say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil." That is the multitude's opinion of everything going on.
That's right.
"Therefore," and this is the truth, audience, "therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards, but not drink of the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near. And hasten greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty men shall cry there bitterly." And bitterly is considered almost chafe. This is the gnashing of the teeth, audience. "That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet, the alarm against the fenced cities, and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men. They have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung." Audience, this is the preliminary scripture to the Great
Tribulation. That was some rich scripture there. That was some very rich scripture.
And I encourage you all, audience, to study this, to study yourself approve, to understand what the Lord would have you do, and to follow the Lamb wherever you goeth, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Bob Garrity for Chris Sardern and Bill Johnson. Good night.
those trees, waves coming through.